In the name of God, our Creator, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer. Amen. For those of you who thought I might want to preach on Hosea, hate to disappoint you. I know. I'm actually going to be talking about inspiring people. Not waking up and wondering what's going to happen. I'm actually, for years, I've been hooked on a TV show called So You Think You Can Dance. Anybody watch that? Yeah. Well, I've been watching it because what those dancers can do is absolutely mesmerizing. They have great choreography, and most years it's young people who have spent years and years and years in discipline and training, coming from all different environments and all having different gifts. There have been lead dancers from prominent ballet companies, men off the street doing their hip-hop. It's just a great collection of how dance can illuminate people and give them a desire to improve. They love their craft. They try very hard to make it look stupendous and yet effortless at the same time. This year is sort of a demonstration about how dance and pursuing one's dream can change a life. There was an 18-year-old who had Down syndrome, was born with Down syndrome. And while she wasn't quite on the level of technique and capability of the other dancers, her smile and her confidence and her demeanor said it all. I mean, she was the hit of the season as far as I'm concerned. And she just had blossomed from learning and pursuing this dream, pursuing her goal, and which she had been working on, I think they said, since she was 5 years old, to be on that show, and she was. She was eliminated, but she was given a path to pursue her career and her dream. And then just this week, a friend of mine recycled a video of Susan Boyle. You may remember her from Britain's Got Talent, I think. Here's this 50th woman from a small village, and she's so nervous on that as she goes onto the stage. Somebody asks her where she's from, and she can't remember the name of her village, where she's been forever. She's never done anything with her talent. She's dressed like a frumpy grandmother nun, not like us, of course. And Simon Cowell asks her, why does she think she's never done anything or accomplished anything with her talent? And she very cheekily says, well, let's see what happens tonight. The crowd, I think they probably are used to people going on there that are horrible. They're kind of put up there to see if the crowd's paying attention or some version of that. But anyway, they think that she'll be horrible and they can get a good laugh or whatever about it. She sings to dream the impossible dream from Les Miserables. She is stunning. She is stunning. The crowd, the judges, everyone applauds or is seen with tears running down their faces, and she gets a standing ovation. She's so bumfuzzled that when she finishes, she walks off the stage. She doesn't stay around to see what the judges are going to say or what happens next. She just leaves. She just wants to leave. Well, she won the season. We all pull for the underdogs, don't we? We pull for those who are trying so hard, so hard. They show us a path, I think. They show us a path of how, with having a dream, with having a goal, and having the determination and the perseverance, that goal can be somehow realized. I don't know if you sort of thought about this, but the gospel stories are always employing underdogs. Ordinary amateur people who are called to the stage by Jesus himself. The same is true for the Older Testament stories. The prophets of old, they were rank amateurs. People from all over called by God to do their parts on the stage of salvation. And that's how God works, through amateurs. Famous theologian Karl Barth said, when it comes to the Christian life, we're all amateurs. We and they never get beyond it so far as serving God is concerned. Sometimes I find it amazing that when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, entered the world, that he didn't go to work with or even enlist or set straight the religious leaders of that day. Went straight for the amateurs. Ordinary people, you and I. People who had no earthly idea of what they were getting into or what they would be called to do. While Jesus went exclusively to amateurs and built the foundation for what is the church, it didn't take long for that fledgling Christian community to develop religious professionals, people who were expert at the Christian faith, as if you can be an expert. Throughout the centuries, these professionals were sometimes given too much control, which was one of the key reasons for the Reformation. The Roman Catholic Church in particular, and those called the religious, the priests, the monks, and nuns, who undoubtedly, of which mostly were well-intentioned, lost their focus. They focused on the church and not on Christ. That's sort of an oversimplification, but you get my drift, I hope. And they were led to the implication that these people with collars and so forth were the full-time Christians and who knew what God wanted. And the others, the lowly laity, only partly knew what God wanted. And they were the Christian amateurs. Nothing could be further from the truth, from the picture presented in the Gospels and throughout church history. The church has had to battle against the very notion that there are some people who are called to do the work for God. But yet they protest by saying, I'm only a lay person. That's the clergy's job. That's the rector's job. That's a sad, bad interpretation. It's actually a perversion of discipleship. If anything, we are here to empower you. I think Javier would say the same thing. Candy would say the same thing. It's not about us. It's all about you. I'm called to wear a collar. I do certain functions. That's the way I've responded to my call. But my role is in my Christian life, that's just responding. There's no professional training required to be a disciple, a follower of God. Only God's claim on our lives. Only the thankfulness and the sense of accomplishment that we get in our hearts when we do God's work. And I see y'all do this every day. Maybe I only see a few of you every day. But I know the work that goes on. I know your faithfulness and your discipleship. And all that is needed is when Jesus says, follow me, is to follow me. And we do. No matter who we are, the only thing that makes us a disciple is responding to the call of Jesus. Today's gospel reminds us that as amateurs, the main ingredient needed is persistence, which is another name for faithfulness. Jesus gives the disciples the Lord's Prayer, and right after that, he tells them how to make it happen, how to make it become a reality. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who searches with persistence, with diligence, with well-meaning, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. We are called, you and I, to be persistent, This ask, seek, knock is about asking with determination and expectation, seeking and knocking all through our lives. It's about living a life laid out in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. I might need to sort out what your will done means, but it's your will be done. We may get it wrong, we do get it wrong. We may mess it up, we do mess it up. But the point is, we can keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. We are to do what we can, when we can. And the good news is that we can change things. The history of the world tells us that. One person can make a difference, and groups of people with the same mission can and do make a difference. Our business is to practice charity, to do works of compassion, to give the child the fish and not the snake, to give the child an egg and not the scorpion. We're to hang in there, never losing sight of whose we are, to interpret the gospel message of loving our neighbor, and in God's world, that is everyone on this planet. That's who we're to love. And I believe that as we work in this world as empowered witnesses to the love of God, then bit by bit, step by step, change occurs, even in us. Especially in us, perhaps. Especially in us. We ask God to do for us which we cannot fully do for ourselves. Our labor is seen as a prayer, taken as a prayer, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and your kingdom come. I've struggled this week with this sermon. I know you'll understand in a minute. But I was reading a book about current events and how to interpret the media when it seems like the media is all over everything. So I don't know about you, but there's some anxiety in my life right now. And I believe in the world. And it bothers me tremendously. I wonder if I am doing enough for God's kingdom. In my journey to be faithful to my calling. Am I afraid I can't make a difference? I don't think so. I don't think that's it, really. Does the task seem insurmountable? Many times. Many times. Greed and power have taken over in the past for a time, but ultimately it doesn't last. And that's what I've been pondering, how to invite you into the journey that I think we all need to be involved with. So what I would suggest is during the next week or two, or whenever you feel so inspired and moved, take some place to go to a place where you are most comfortable being open and available to God. Available to open yourself up to the possibilities of furthering our prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. Pray for guidance. Ask. Think of several things that most concern you about God's world. And then seek, where am I in this journey to spread God's love to all who need? What am I doing? Think of the possibilities of using your gifts of time, your gifts of talent, your gifts of money. And then knock. Help me, God. Help me find the ways to do something so that I may be more a vehicle of your compassion and the spread of your kingdom. I practiced that some this week, and I was pleasantly surprised. at what occurred. So I'm going to do a little jump start today. Let's begin together. I'd like you to take a moment and close your eyes. Clear as many thoughts as you can from your heart, from your mind, from your busyness. Think of one thing that might be different with some extra effort on our part. Things that you might do individually, things that you might do as a group, doesn't matter. May we pray that it may be so. And the people all say, Amen.